obviously, all's well that ends well, Luke. I suppose, because there's a second part to this confession that we're going to get to. But I saw Colton Gordon get hit in the face with a line drive live last night. I thought his face was going to be a mess. I thought his face would have exploded. Now, horrible, horrible visual. I know. I'm sorry. But he got hit square in the face. And in real time, I didn't know where. It ended up being in his forehead or near his hairline or whatever. But I didn't even want to look. I thought for sure. And the other thing I didn't know is the ball wasn't really, you know, squared up. Mm-hmm. It was more of a broken bat liner. But it was still 79 miles per hour off the bat, according to Todd Callis, you know, and he said, well, it was only 79, which it could have been worse. It absolutely could have been, but I don't care if it was 50. I mean, he got hit square in the face. I didn't even want to look. I thought that his face would have just gotten mashed and really, really ugly scene. But the other part of it, not only did he get hit in the forehead, he did a push-up, got up, got looked at by the athletic trainers, and then continue to pitch. Now, here's the second part that may or may not be good news for the Astros, whose medical staff and athletic training staff has a pretty interesting record.
Yeah.
They kept him in the game. After the game, they announced that he's being watched studied for a concussion.
Mm-hmm.
You kept him in the game after he took a line drive to the face?
Yeah. It doesn't sound, it's not great because the medical team of the Astros is already so much under fire. Mm-hmm. And then you get the news that he's being evaluated. We got the news after the game, evaluated for a concussion. And I saw somebody tweet that waking up to see the Astros medical team may have allowed a concussed pitcher to continue to pitch last night might not be a top five moment of failure for this medical team this season.
That's the sad part.
Yeah. Yeah.
I ain't even think about that part.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking like, no big deal. They had worse things.
And now he's being evaluated for concussion after, by the way, they left him in the game and he gave up the lead. He gave up the big runs.
Yeah, that's the thing for me. It was always like different but somewhat similar. Whenever a pitcher would have to run and cover first base, and the rule was always like, catcher, go out, give them a breather because they're tired, and now the next batter, you know. And this is almost a similar where, like, I'd have a rule that if a pitcher got hit in the head with a line drive, I don't care if he's okay. If it got him, like, pretty flush, I think I'm taking him out of the game automatically, because what do you expect from a guy after that? And sure enough, two batters later, he gives up the three-run homer to Ramirez that essentially that was – I know the Astros came back to tie it, but then they left him in the next inning, and he gave up he gave up more runs that after the Astros had just tied it. So it'd almost be my rule of thumb that if my pitcher gets hit by a line drive – even if he says he's okay, even if he checks out okay, like, you know what? Let's get you out of the game, even just based off of just for your performance, and make sure you're good in the clubhouse.
And then after the game is when you decide to evaluate him for a concussion?
Yeah.
Figgy, you saw it. Again, I didn't know it was a broken bat on TV, but it was still 79 miles an hour, square to the head.
Yeah, no, it was to the forehead, man. I'm like, oh, I saw it in real time. I'm like, oh.
Yes.
And I could tell Todd Callis and them didn't realize it hit him directly on the head, on the forehead, until they saw the replay, and they was like, "Ooh,
boy!" What you read is so true and so sad. Like, this isn't even top five of the questionable things that they've done.
Yeah, I know, it's kind of become par for the course at this point now. Where you hear that, it's like, oh, yeah, I can see that. I can see that happening. That's always the worst though for me is watching. I'm not a big injury guy. I don't like watching like gruesome injuries, but that line drive to a pitcher last night, fortunately, knock on wood, it wasn't as bad of a visual as some of them. Mm-hmm. I think back of Bryce Flory, like 25 years ago, who was just gushing blood on the mound. Like, it's just, I hate that. That's my biggest fear for these guys. I'm not even out there, but I always worry about the pitcher. Bobby Miller, I think it was, for the Dodgers, got hit earlier this year with a 106 mile per hour line drive to the face like that. I can't watch those replays. Mm-hmm. I feel for these guys. That's terrible.
Yeah.
I was thinking which way to go. I mean, I could have went back to the Savannah Bananas after yesterday, but and my disdain for them. But I think my confession is that I don't like drama in my life, but I like to rubberneck drama. I love these reality dating shows, and originally it was the significant other that got me into them, but I can't even blame her anymore because I'm just into them. I like it. We finished The Ultimatum last night on Netflix. And we had the reunion to watch last night, and it opened up with a lot of drama in the beginning of the reunion, and then it kind of got mellow, and I was like, oh, this is boring. I want the drama, so I don't like it in my life. I don't know what's changed with me or happened to me, though, but the last about 2 years, I love these shows. I watch Love is Blind. I watch The Ultimatum. We watch The Golden Bachelor and Bachelorette.
You watch Golden Bachelor?
Yeah, not the regular Bachelor, only the golden one, because it's more like, you know, it's a little more family-friendly. It's a little nicer.
I'll be
to see.
Cringing every time I see those commercials, man.
Oh,
when
man.
They used to, I'm like, man, what?
Oh, I cringe too, and I am golden. but on our vacation, we actually played a family, The Traitors. Have you watched The Traitors?
No, I've
Dude,
seen the commercials.
So freaking good. So we did The Traitors, you know, and tried to decide who was what and had all these games and stuff. so that's about the. I think most people lie about not watching reality shows. And I think a lot of people don't even realize it is a reality show. Mm-hmm. They go, I like so-and-so. Well, you know, that's a reality show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Reality air quotes.
Yeah, of course. I really don't watch. What's crazy is my wife is not into reality shows at all. Mm-hmm. She don't watch it at all, but she's into the goofy. To me, I look at this as a reality show, like shows like 9-1-1 and The Rookie and these cheesy fake drama type of shows that come on Fox and ABC.
Yeah.
That's the type of stuff that drive me nuts. I'm like, man, it ain't no real action in this. And it all looks so fake and unbelievable.
Yeah, that's the thing. You guys referenced like the Golden Bachelor or those commercials. I cringe at the 9-1-1 commercials during NFL Sunday, and it's the most absurd thing. There's like a tsunami in New York City or something. Like, it's always the most absurd.
Yeah.
Rob Lowe caves in someone's chest doing CPR. Like, it's the most ridiculous stuff. And I'm like, who watches this show? It looks so absurd.
It is.
It is.
Like, it would start off like, oh, man, a helicopter crashed in the Grand Canyon. Oh, my God. And then next thing you know, everybody's alive. Everybody good and well, and they keep on going.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of my wife, I told y'all about my situation with the car and how we had to get the car, her car totaled because a tire came out of nowhere on the freeway. And hit the front of her car.
Yeah.
So we down in one car right now, and we've been carpooling pretty much.
Oh, Lord.
My confession is I'm not a fan of this at all, man.
Nope.
I don't understand. And this wasn't a thing back in the day where both parents had two cars, or at least where I'm from.
Yeah.
Like, my mom and dad only had one car.
My mom didn't even drive.
My mom and dad had one car, and he would take her to work, come back home, or he'll go to work. And I'm like, man, I don't see how they used to do that back in the day, man.
I don't understand it.
Yeah, so now I'm just, every time I ask, I'm like, what's the schedule? Mm-hmm. What's the schedule looking like? You dropping me off or I'm dropping you off? And then she get here early, and I'm like, I'm not even off work yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then whenever I am finished, oh, I'm not going to be there till 3:30.
Oh.
I'm just like, oh, my God, man.
The worst.
I'm just like, man, we got to get another car ASAP, man. It's throwing my whole morning off.
The other thing that just to kind of dovetail off of that is, like, they think it's cool. Like, we can talk more.
She love it.
Yeah, we can talk. I'm like, why do I want to talk with you?
Dude, she love it so much.
Yes.
And then she said, hey, I wonder, will it be like this if we ever had kids?
Oh, God.
I'm like, no, one of us just going to drop the kid off and keep it moving.
They think it's like an adventure and cool and all that.
Oh,
and
my,
like,
God. It's,
God, no.
It's the worst, man. I'm just sick of it, man. And
we can have breakfast on the way or get a coffee. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No.
And even when she did have her own car, she would always try to leave the exact same time I'm trying to leave. I'm like, what's the purpose of this? Because sometimes I get up and I'll be heading out the door. She's like, wait a minute, I'm about to leave out too. I'm like, why we got to leave out together?
I know, exactly.
So now this is her perfect moment to leave out together and both get in the car and see you later, give me a kiss and all this other stuff. I'm just like, man, I can't even get in my groove.
Yes.
I usually get in my groove on the way to work, man.
Texter says, my wife and I used to do it for about 6 months. I need my me time.
Yes, yeah. I need my me time, my music. I can't play the music I can play because my Bluetooth don't work.
Ah.
But now the music I try to listen to, she's talking over it.
Ah.
And then now she, why are you so quiet? I'm trying to be quiet. Yeah, I'm trying to get prepared for work. I got to get prepared mentally.
Yes.
Because I'm going to be talking for 4 hours.
Yeah, that's right. Then you're not going to want to talk. You just talk for 4 hours. You're not going to want to talk in the car ride home.
Why are you so quiet? Yeah. What's wrong with you? I'm like, nothing's wrong.
Yeah. You guys know this. I'll take my occasional week here, week there of vacation. But I very rarely use all my days over the years. I'm going to start using more, at least one more for every week that I take. This year, I took a week off, and I took the following Monday off just so I could have that decompression day, kind of gather myself, rest, you know, whatever, catch up on stuff at the house before I have to come to work. That decompression day is solid gold. Solid gold. And it actually worked even more so for me because, as you can maybe tell, I got a little bit of, I left Houston, came back to Houston, and the allergies hit. Mm. So I had to kind of, I took a nap. I caught up on some stuff. So whenever I take a week off from now on, Figgy, add a day. It's going to be a week and a day. That decompression day is gold.
Yeah, I like that idea. Mm-hmm. I'm all for it. I'm also, admittedly, sort of that guy at the start of the vacation, too. I know the travel people might not always like it, but like, I like to settle in wherever my destination is. First day, let's just relax. Let's not do anything.
Yeah.
Same idea. Get home. The next day, yeah, give me a little bit of a debriefing day before I got to jump back into things.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, no, and that's the worst, especially some like the times I traveled, actually had to fly out somewhere and get back around 8 that night, and that Sunday night, and then got to work the next day.
Mm-hmm.
That's the toughest part right there because the way back home is always rough, especially on the flight.
And you always get tired.
Yeah.
That next day.
You just be tired from the traveling and all that stuff. And then you got to work the next day?
Yeah.
That's tough, man.
Add a day from now on.
I like it. Hey, the more days you can take off, the better. Why not?
Exactly.
Add a day on the front and the back if you need. Those are our lunchtime confessions brought to you by the Men's Clinic every day here on In the Loop. Hey, coming up, the Texans offensive line. Everyone is really down on this offensive line, at least outside of Houston. Everyone is down on this O-line right now. How good does it actually have to be for the Texans to achieve their goals this year? We'll talk about it next in the Loop.